You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's a lovely morning here in Vancouver, and we'll just share it with our audience out there in, and as you know, I always forget where they are.
Well, they're everywhere, Bob. They're everywhere.
They're in Etherland.
They could be listening to us on the space station.
My gosh, the mind boggles.
Yes.
Yes.
Seeing the Earth every 90 minutes.
Yep.
90 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or a day and 90 minutes.
Whatever.
We have some questions from our listeners today. So our first one is from Rudy to Mr. Bob Hoy. A lot of respect for you there, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
When did the various provinces of Canada start to charge tariffs when trading with each other? Do you expect the tariffs between provinces to be reduced slowly or all at once? If tariffs between provinces are eliminated, what effect would that have on the Canadian mining industry?
Well, Jim, as we talked, you've done some research on it and can explain it. All I'm going to do is put in is that wherever possible, and you're in a recession, the local politicians will bring in protectionist measures. And we can say probably after the provinces were first started, they started protecting themselves. So, but Jim, you really had some good research on it.
The Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses estimates anywhere from 90 to over $100 billion in trade barriers. For example, Alberta couldn't send its beer to BC. BC couldn't send its wines to Alberta. Yeah. You'll never see an Ontario wine in a BC liquor store, vice versa. So they have, it's mostly protectionist when it comes to the alcohol industry. So people are protecting their local breweries. But now that we have the threat of tariffs from the American government, Canada is finally waking up to the fact that we restrict trade and also labor. So if I have a carpenter's certificate from New Brunswick, I can't use it in British Columbia or Alberta, where the biggest demand for houses is, or Toronto.
Right.
And so the premiers have gotten together, and every province except Newfoundland has pretty well agreed that they're going to reduce or eliminate totally these tariff barriers between provinces. For example, New Brunswick charges a very high alcohol tax. Quebecers, for some reason, they like their Brador beer, and they charge a lot less. And a man brought some cases of beer across from Quebec into New Brunswick, and he was charged with smuggling, which is amazing. But we've seen this also during brewery strikes, where if the liquor workers in BC go on strike, people tried to bring semi-trailers full of alcohol into BC, and they were stopped at the border saying, no, we have restrictions on that. So that's the kind of thing you want to see getting rid of. Now, when it comes to mining, it's not so much tariffs as that each province has different environmental laws. And so what might be good enough to pass in Quebec, you bring that same mining scenario to British Columbia, it may not pass, and vice versa. So I think what they're trying to do, and trucking, another example where trucking vehicles are a provincial jurisdiction. So the rules for trucking in BC, different than Alberta, different than Saskatchewan. So if I'm a trucker, I have to unload stuff because my truck's too heavy in Quebec. And then when I get to New Brunswick, my tires might be too high or too narrow. And again, they want to standardize it so that if you load something in Nova Scotia, you can truck it all the way to Vancouver Island and not be in violation of any provincial laws. That's going to take some time. But again, there's now a will. Before, they were fine with this protectionism, even though it was costing provinces and individuals a lot of money. And in the cases of professionals like lawyers, doctors, nurses, dentists, your degree from Nova Scotia wasn't good enough for you to practice in Manitoba for some reason. And yet you're all Canadian and you probably had the same kind of education.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, but you didn't have a class on buffing your dental work the same way. You do it to the left in Alberta, they do it to the right.
Well, those are wonderful points, a wonderful summary of a bad situation. But the problem is that a politician sees a threat, he's going to try and deal with it. And if it's trade, that's the way it goes. And particularly if you're in a recession and then unemployment. So, yeah, I think the protectionism, province to province to province, has been on for a long time. And it's the leader of the opposition, Poilievre, is a very dynamic leader, and he is geared to get rid of it. You know, free trade between provinces. So
I don't know. I grew up in Alberta. I think there's something in the water there that makes everybody in favor of free enterprise. Everybody's got a side hustle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's some way to make extra money, or in case the job you have doesn't work out, you've got something else to fall back on. They don't have a provincial sales tax in Alberta.
Yeah. A year or so ago, Premier Smith from Alberta pointed out that back in Pierre Elliott Trudeau's days, the Ottawa stole the oil from Alberta, and then under Trudeau the younger and the more stupider, they were out to shut it down, just plain shut it down. So it was a very nice observation by Smith. So
now we have a rather lengthy set of questions from Willem.
Yeah.
Wellum writes, I am confused with what I see in the markets. The New York advanced decline line is more or less back to levels of February and January of this year. The three-month T-bill rate didn't drop that much at all in the first 4 months of the year. Yet the U.S. markets aren't back to the levels of January and early February 2025. The gold-silver ratio has also barely budged and didn't give a warning in advance. Which of the signals listed above is here confused? How should I read these combination of signals? Because, Bob, they are coming from 20 different directions all at once.
Yeah, well, you're very well informed. And things are just weird out there since the first of the year. You had a strong stock market and related with the discounting the beginning of the Trump government. And then it's just been all over the place. And, yeah, normal things are not working. But we just have to wait and see and let things all settle down and then get back to the normal relationships between gold and silver, the senior currency, stock markets, that sort of stuff. So, it's out of whack, and it's been out of whack, but somewhere it'll get back into regular market forces, although they may be wild because, you know, we're after the end of a bubble. And the main thing is that with a bubble, and this has been the everything bubble, well, everything went up and everything is not quite going down, and they don't all go up at the same time and come down at the same time. But I think a year hence now we'll be looking over our shoulders and saying, yeah, that was an outstanding top. But in the meantime, I'm with you, Willem. There's a lot of confusion out there.
Also from Willem, I noticed that the total amount of margin debt in late January 2025 was the highest ever. This doesn't bode well for the stock markets all around the world. Just imagine what would happen when all that margin debt is going to be unwound. Any comments on the total amount of margin debt?
Oh, yeah. It's as you point out, it's huge. And also you have, like in 1929, where the U.S. dollar was becoming a senior currency, and you had a, you know, fairly liquid market, stock market, so the world was playing it. That was the place to go. And here we are, same sort of thing. The world is playing stocks, and in particular U.S. stocks, because of, you know, liquidity and names and all that sort of stuff. So, and the margin debt, hey, isn't that a killer? But there's nothing the Fed can do about it. It's trapped. So, but anyways, in the past, market forces have overwhelmed whatever the Fed may have been trying to do. So I expect the Fed to get overwhelmed in trying to ease things and keep the good times rolling. And there's a wonderful editorial in Barron's from July 1932, and they sum it up that, because that July 32 was really a bad time following the peak in 1929, but the editorial points out that the Fed had been providing liquidity, because economists beginning in the 1960s said that the Fed deliberately tightened and caused the crash, and that caused the depression. But no, the editorial points out that the Fed was easing and buying bonds out of the market, which is the way you ease, but the forces of contraction just overwhelmed whatever easing the Fed was applying. So, yeah, and the margin debt, that is one of the killers out there.
And Bob, you've pointed out in the past as well, the Fed, central banks, they can only control short-term interest rates, but long-term rates are set by the bond market, which is the world market. The entire planet gets to vote on it.
Oh, yeah. Now, here comes the irony. In a boom, short rates such as T-bills go up in yield. That's the rule. It's the way it works. Thousand years of it. And then in the bust, short rates go down. Now, lately I've been collecting little headlines about, oh, the Fed is soon going to start Fed cuts and that'll help. The worst thing in the world is when interest rates go down. And we've also got a chart on the S&P versus the T-bill yield. And there are times when the stock market not only goes down fast, but the T-bill yield is going down just as fast. So watch for these, all of our listeners out there, watch for headlines where various experts are pointing out that, Fed cuts are soon going to come in and the party will resume. It is the kiss of death.
Bob, can I ask a question? In uncertain times, is it good to look up who is paying the best guaranteed investment certificate rate and lock in for a year on that and just sit back with your cash and watch the markets do whatever they're going to do?
Yeah, that you could do that with a portion. Yeah. Because if you're rolling over in T-bills, you're just going to get lower every yield. Now, one of the strategies we've been recommending is good grade corporate bonds, 3 to 4 year maturity. So you can't get whipsawed too badly in price because they're going to mature at par. And then for our Canadian listeners, if you buy U.S. corporate bonds, 3 to 4 years, hey, you're going to get the benefits of the firming U.S. dollar relative to the Canadian. So that's our happy position for a financial storm, 3 to 4 year good grade corporate bonds.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox.
Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline number one from Zero Hedge. China is in economic dire straits, and they're no longer able to hide it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. But also, I think Trump sees it. And part of his tariffs. Now, he couldn't select just China for tariffs. So he did it, everywhere. And then has been since negotiating things and stuff like that. But a communist regime with communist dictators in Beijing, it's disgusting. So it'd be a good opportunity to take them down.
Bob, is it correct to call them communist dictators when they allow free enterprise? Wouldn't that make them fascist dictators? You still don't have any rights, but you're allowed to own property.
Yeah, there's a very good definition of fascism, and I couldn't find the author for it, but I've been using it for a long time, and that is that fascism is a combination of big government and big business.
Yeah.
And again, the big government side of it is thinking they're going to run everything, and then you end up with a disaster. So, but I really like that definition. Fascism is the combination of big government and big business.
Our second headline also comes from Zero Hedge. He who has the gold makes the rules, President Trump proclaims over Easter weekend.
Oh, yeah. I love that one. He who has the gold makes the rules. Isn't it true?
Well, China and Russia over the last 12, 13 years have been amassing huge gold stocks. Canada and Britain sold off all their
gold, the metals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and does the U.S. have any gold in Fort Knox? That's the question, and we still don't know the answer.
Well, you know, my quip is that radon gas in the basement at Fort Knox has turned all the gold to lead.
What's the price of lead compared to gold right now?
Hey, maybe somehow they should find a way to suck the radon gas out of the basement. But, you know, that. Now, this is just being frivolous, and it's a fun line. I amuse myself with it, so, yeah. Mm.
From Newsweek, Miami housing market suffers breathtaking collapse in demand. What, people aren't buying real estate now with their cocaine funds?
Well, this one's important, Jim, because in the mid-20s, real estate boom in Florida was huge. People were buying swamps, and you had all the way up the East Coast, individual investors got caught up in the mania. And as best can be determined, the peak for real estate speculation in Florida was 1926. And then came a big storm. And that was it for real estate in Florida for decades and decades. So, yeah. So I'm not wishing for a big storm to devastate Florida, but I think the property market is the start of a bear.
We also hear that Canadians are selling their Florida properties and looking at other places, I guess, to spend the winter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, then there's the part about, oh, we don't like Americans anymore, so I'm going to get out that thing, so, yeah.
And from Breitbart, scientists look to dim the sun to counter runaway climate change.
Yeah, that was part of a story that, because they're fearful of runaway warming, and they want to put up something to screen the heat out of the that's coming down to the earth, and it is just so far-fetched. One, there is no link between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and whether it's getting hot or cold. And people are thinking that there's a mirror up there, and that these this takes us to the next step, where the molecule of CO2 up there has a shiny side, and it's reflecting the heat down onto the Earth. And, of course, a CO2 molecule gets a photon of energy from the Earth or from the sun or whatever, and it does a little wiggle, a little vibration with the energy, and then that's it. The heat it gets is passed on instantly. So the story that carbon dioxide causes heating is just so nonsensical, I can't believe it.
Bob, you've studied history and trends. Back in the 1500s, we had a mini ice age. What was that blamed on?
Oh, witches.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, the 1500s was into the little ice age, which got to its worst in that period. And the learned magistrates had to have, the crop failures were disastrous, but even for livestock, the quality of the grass was hopeless. It's just not enough energy from the sun, and it really was a massive cooling century. And, of course, they had to have a reason. And the learned magistrates decided that it was witches that caused the bad weather. And in Northern Europe, they burned thousands of women that were witches and causing the bad weather. It's very, very sad.
Yeah, I saw a documentary in Germany, up to 60,000 people burned at the stake.
I haven't seen that number, but all I know is it was
horrific.
Horrific, yes, indeed.
Well, sorry to end on that note, but Bob, always interesting when we chat.
Jim, we had fun today, and I'm looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for him, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.